Good morning. My name is Aurora, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the 2024 Preliminary General Economic Policy Guidelines. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speaker, Rodrigo Mariscal Paredes, Head of Economic Planning Unit, Ministry of Finance, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for connecting to the conference call. First, I would start my intervention and my speech with a broad overview of the economic trends and the national economy, and then I will proceed to give you the main highlights of the report that we presented last Friday. So let me start just by saying that a quick overview of the global trends. We saw positive trends relative to what we saw in 2022. Basically, we're still seeing China reopening and the global value chain normalization. Energy prices have been very volatile, although the domestic demand in many countries, particularly the labor market, has been overperforming. Nonetheless, the geopolitical disputes, the war in Ukraine, continues to be the main challenge and the main risk for the global outlook, and especially for Mexico. And also, in recent weeks, we saw some additional volatility related to financial conditions, especially related to some of the banking closures or bankruptcy that happened in the U.S. and some financial turmoil in Europe. Now, let me just say that the banking sector in Mexico is very well capitalized. We saw we were very attentive of what was happening to the banking sector in the U.S., but we are not particularly worried because practically all the cross-border financial claims that the foreign banks have in Mexico are limited, close to 9.5% of GDP. However, out of that 9.5%, 37% come from U.S. banks. And in our talks with the financial regulators and with the banking, they practically are not at risk. Basically Mexico has a very open banking sector. We have many subsidiaries of foreign banks. However, most of the funding happens with deposits. So for that part, at least from the credit channel, I think we are not at risk. Now, from the liability side, again, Mexican banks have some investment abroad, but again, they are not concentrated in those banking that have potentially risk, especially the U.S. Regional banks or the European Swiss banks. In terms of the uncertainty that happened with the interest rate, we see the Fed coming to an end, although we have several diversions or differences in terms of what to expect to the terminal rate. We know that the Fed is expected to get the rate constant to more time than they were planning originally, but the market are currently discounting at least two cuts for the year. Of course, that outcome would change related to what happened to the U.S. economy, but we are very attentive of what's going to happen to that. Now, on the positive side, we see that the U.S. Seems especially resilient in the first quarter of 2023. We saw revisions of the forecast positive, and we expect to have a very good first quarter of the year. Of course, this outcome is going to give us a higher growth for Mexico and a higher base for growth. And we are still thinking about what's going to happen for the rest of the year. However, we think that at least in our base case scenario, we don't expect an important contraction in US GDP or a deep and prolonged recession either. Now, in terms of what we think is positive, regardless of what's happened to the US, we saw some sectors outperforming, especially the ones that the industry in vehicles, auto parts, electric equipment, medical equipment, and aeronautical. Those sectors are particularly relevant for Mexico, so we think this is going to provide at least some mitigating impact in case of the U.S. economy start to decelerating or even get into a recession in the year. We also have a very close connection regionally with the U.S., especially with Texas, California, Michigan, and Illinois. And those four states, besides California, have been performing, again, relatively well. We think that they are going to keep growing for the rest of the year. But again, this is based on the outlook that it's still uncertain. Now, in terms of employment, again, the U.S. have been very the U.S. outlook has very positive numbers and results in terms of employment. In particular, the employment for the Mexican it has reached 7.2 million in February 2023. And also the wage bill has increased by 4.7% in real terms in 2022. So we think that at least for the base of the wage bill, it is going to provide a very good source of revenue, particularly with remittances. And again, these numbers have been overperforming this year. Now let me go to the national macroeconomic indicators. Basically, our forecast for this year and next year, it's basically source has the better than expected result performance that we saw in 2022 and a very good start in 2023. So that will provide a very high base for the year. That even though we don't see if we like in a worst case scenario that we would see zero growth for the rest of the second half of the year or even a mild contraction, that would put us in a high level of growth. At least we expect a 2% or 2.2%, depending on the scenario, of growth for this year. Basically, all the private and public investment were performing very well. Even last year and this year, we expect that this will continue. For last year, private investment grew at 6.4%, and the public investment grew 4%. And particularly in the last quarter of 2022, they have a very good performing in terms of the growth. Now, this is very relevant because at least for the private investment, it haven't grew that much since 2022, but especially for the public investment that since 2029 have negative growth rates. And in 2021, it has a positive, but it was a very low at 0.7%. But this year, a 4% growth, it's a very important growth rate for the public investment. And we expect that this year is particularly when we have probably the highest disbursement of public infrastructure projects, that growth, at least we think it's going to be repeat for this year. Now, private consumption, also in line with a very good performance of the labor market, has been not so high relative to historical average, but the consumption, the private consumption particularly, has been performing rather well. It has 5 quarters of consecutive growth, and we expect that for the rest of the year, the consumption is going to be performing rather well. The only part of the demand that has not performing so much or so well was the export side. Particularly, it has a very bad month in February, but we think that in March it might recover. Have a good January and a closure in the fourth quarter of 2022, very bad because they have a contraction. But nonetheless, as we were discussing about the U.S. outcome, we think that we have some base for growth for this year, and especially regarding some of the trade creation and diversion from China that we have seen for the last months, and in particular, we expect that to be more in 2023 and 2024. And now, let me touch briefly on the labor market. Probably you know the numbers very well. We have an unemployment rate that has its lowest level since 2005, which is when the survey started. We are at 2.8%. So practically, we could say that Mexico is at full employment. Now, one important thing and what the distinction that I would make from the U.S. economy and other Latin American economies is that basically our rate in labor force participation has also been increasing. So it's always a positive story because this means that the labor market is not going to be so much pressure and it's not going to be adding too much to the inflation outcome. Basically, the outturns that we see in terms of the real wages practically are growing at the same level of the Banxico rate, which is 3.2% in an annual basis. But if you see the distribution relative to where is the pressure coming or where is the wages growing the most, basically the northern states, which makes a lot of sense because we have seen a lot of demand for labor in the northern parts related to the reallocation of firms and also the construction of new factories that are happening in the north. Now, in terms of the minimum wage, also it's also a variable that we keep tracking. The minimum wage have been increasing, but we still don't see an important pressure into the economy or to the labor force or employment. Basically, although the increases in the minimum wage have been important, in effective terms they have not been so much important because there is the distribution of wages. But again, it's something that we always keep track of. Now, in terms of the manufacturing, let me go through basically to the sector that we think would be key for explaining the growth in this year and next year. Basically, the manufacturing has been performing rather good. We think that the nearshoring is really impacting some of the sectors, in particular the automotive sector. Basically, 37% of the nearshoring investment announcement were related to the automotive sector, and we expect an investment of close to $10 billion just in auto parts. The USMCA rules of origin will be revised this year, starting in July. That means that to comply with the regional rules, there has to be an increase in the regional context. Basically, for core parts, principal parts and secondary parts will increase the amount of regional content from 60 to 75%, more or less. So that will create more growth for the whole region, and we think that Mexico is going to benefit from that just update. Also, we have investment announcement for the production of electric vehicles. Basically, five or six companies have been pledging to start to investment. EV electric vehicles is going to be investing $265 million in Puebla. WTech, $180 million in Jalisco, Tesla, $5 to $10 billion in Nuevo León, and BMW, $65 billion. Also, we have some firms that are going to be investing in the development of lithium batteries, and this is closely related to the Sonora plant that we're going to be connecting with the electric vehicle chain. Also, construction, we think it was not doing very well last year, but it have a very good closure for the year. We think it's going to be also an important source of growth, despite that There is an increase in the interest rate. We have seen some material costs that have been coming down, and in our talks with the sector, they think that this is one of the keys that were holding back the construction last year. We still think that the prices are relatively high relative to pandemic, but at least we think these prices are still are coming down, and this is going to be a boost for the sector. For the external part, I already discussed the U.S. outcome. I mean, it's volatile, it's uncertain, but we think that at least from the part that we see, the FDI is still coming to Mexico. We expect higher levels of foreign direct investment, especially the greenfields have reached higher levels since 2013, and we think this is going to be improving as we saw the relocation of firms. Tourism, it's also have been surprisingly good, not very much talk in the media, but this is something that has been outperforming, in particularly the expenditure that the tourists come to Mexico last year reached $28 billion. It's an all-time high. And we also reached 21 million people coming to Mexico last year. Just January numbers, we have $2.8 billion just in January and close to 1.9 million people. So we think this is going to be a very good year for tourism. Now, the inflation dynamics, let me just briefly talk. We have seen the inflation just reaching its peak and then starts coming down. It has been very persistently and reluctant to come down to the levels that Banxico would expect. But basically, we think that a lot of it has to do with imported component. In our estimation, the last headline of 7.1, we think that at least 2.7 percentage points are coming from the imported component, and the rest, of course, from the national component. Basically, most of the pressures it's related to food. And even to food-related services, we estimate that, although if you see the services that normally people would think this is the non-tradable sector, when we decompose or when we look into the components of the service sector related to food, we get that at least 2.6 percentage points of that inflation in the service sector come from something related to food services or something related to food, which is something that practically every country in the world is experiencing a type of food inflation related to demand composition, but also to climate factors and sanitary issues. Now, let me finish the call with the main result from the public sector finance report that we published, and we were happy to answer your question, but let me just give you some pointers that we presented in the last Friday. So basically, probably you already saw we revised the revenues to the downside, close to 132 billion pesos. Most of the revision has to do with the oil revenues. And the oil revenues revision basically has three components. Although you probably saw the announcement today that oil prices now are coming up. This is based on what we saw at least last month. So the lower price of we had a lower price of $2 relative to the program. The program basically has $68.7 per barrel. We estimate that this is going to be 66.6. And now, I mean, if there's a revision with the oil price outcome, this is going to be changed, but this is at least this is our projections. And that gives us at least a loss of 28 billion pesos. Then we also have the exchange rate appreciation, which happened to be 8.4% related to the program. Basically, the program, we have 20.6 pesos per dollar. Now we estimate to be 18.9 pesos per dollar. So that gives us a sensitivity of close to 87 billion pesos. Now the rest has to do with the natural gas. Also there's a revision of $2.7 per MBTUs. and that could be also partially absorbed with a lower cost from CFE, but this is not incorporated so far in the projections. So, slightly compensated with a higher production in the platform, but nevertheless, basically the bulk of the lower revenues come from the oil revenues, which again, total Pemex and federal government, it's 163 billion pesos. Now, of course, these lower revenues and whatever happens to the price of oil could be partially or compensated with the hedging programs and other type of collection that we might see, especially with the excise tax, that you know, if the oil prices tend to go down in tandem with the gasoline prices, that will be an extra room to increase the excise tax. Again, this could be partially compensated with other sources of revenue. Now, for the tax revenue, we also see revenue below the program, close to 67 billion pesos. And the lower revenues has to do with basically two things. One is the tax revenue base that were below our programmed base in 2022. So basically what we end up with low revenues that we estimate when we were formulating the program of 2023. And also we have lower revenues based on the revision of the personal income tax brackets of 2022 and some of the rebates of the excise tax. Now this is partially compensated again for non-tax revenues, and that it's going to increase by 37 billion pesos, and other state-owned enterprise revenues, which is 61 billion pesos. At the end, I'm going to briefly discuss what we could do in if this risk would materialize, but let me just briefly say that also we have an expenditure pressure of the financial costs, which is close to 21 billion pesos. This has to do with higher interest rate that we estimate. And just to keep in mind, the sensitivity it's a good estimate, but nevertheless, you shouldn't be very hold that closer to your heart because just give you an example. In 2022, just the sensitivity gave us an extra cost of 120 billion pesos, but it ended up being 50 billion pesos. And basically, what is behind that is that we normally try to do liability management or other type of financial operations to adjust or try to overcome or compensate at some point the extra cost of revenue. So basically, in terms of the expenditure, the program or expenditure give us a lower expenditure of about 170 billion pesos. Of course, that it's the pressure that we have in terms of the expenditure, but let's say our first line of defense, we can always try to have other sources of revenue, as I discussed, the hedging program and other financial revenues that could compensate the lower revenues, and that would prevent us to have a contraction in the expenditure of 117. Also, we have the stabilization funds. We have 37 billion pesos for the FAIP, and the old Mexican trust fund had 21 billion pesos that we could potentially use. It doesn't mean that we really wanted to do it. Basically, we will be trying to replenish the stabilization fund, but it's something that it's at least is on the table, and we can principally legally take that resources to compensate the fall in expenditure. And at the end, the law in the chapter provides us a very clear way to address the lower expenditures. So if we don't go to this route and we don't have any, let's say we don't have any revenue and we don't want to use the stabilization fund, we can always adjust expenditure. We can have cuts in administrative expenses non-related to basic service to the population. For example, we would expend less in social media and advertising and bonus or extraordinary wage compensations. And if the revenues go above 3% of the revenues, we have to go to Congress and start to explaining to them the sources of less revenues, and they will have to adjust to adjust the budget in order to comply with the fiscal rules. So let me stop here, and then we are happy to take your questions. Thank you.